Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is part two of our discussion with Scott Weems, who's written a great book called HA, H-A exclamation point. You've seen him on CBS Sunday Morning Show, and he's also been featured in an article recently written in the Wall Street Journal about laughter and humor. And in this part of the podcast, I want to focus on the medical ramifications of humor, because a few years back, a doctor named Patch Adams made a big point of incorporating humor in helping patients to overcome serious diseases. We've got the story of, I guess it was Norman Cousins, who laughed his way out of a very serious medical condition. Scott, is there any truth to this, that laughter is the best medicine?
There is. I would say that laughter is the best medicine as long as you occasionally combine it with penicillin as necessary.
Okay. It's not going to cure the Ebola epidemic that is currently raging in Africa. That's not applicable.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's always dangerous because there's a reason that modern medicine works. I would always stick with the conventional methods when they're available. But no, I mean, just as stress and negative emotions have bad tolls on your body, humor and positive outlook are fantastic and really do make a big difference. And in addition to just being good cardiovascular exercise, laughter has been shown to have some pretty strong immune system benefits.
What do the studies show on that? Does it have to do with cortisol, or does it actually raise our levels of immunoglobulins? Or, you know, is there a mechanism by which humor seems to make a difference?
Yeah, I think on one level we do understand many of the mechanisms, and immunoglobulin. I'm not an MD, I'm a PhD, so I always I'll screw up the names when I try to pronounce it. But yes, natural killer cells. That's an easy one to pronounce.
Oh, good.
That's what, yeah. That's what's one of the key things improved by laughter and humor, is that it improves natural killer cell concentrations, which help basically fight things like various viruses or cancer and things like that. So that's a pretty strong benefit. Immunoglobulin A, I think, is also another thing that studies have found that humor increases concentrations of, which helps basically boost immune system performance. And on one level, too, it's just good cardiovascular exercise. And this leads to improvements in things like blood pressure. Michael Miller from the University of Maryland did some great studies where he looked at vasoreactivity and showed that laughter basically makes the blood vessels more pliable and so more responsive to our heart needs.
So really a doctor could get the prescription pad out and write, take two jokes and call me in the morning, peel off the prescription, give it to the patient, and that actually might be beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly be better than taking a negative or anxious approach to whatever you're dealing with. The key thing is, though, it's interesting that there was one fascinating study that looked at what long-term effects humor has on our health. In other words, does it improve longevity? And humor alone doesn't do much if you don't combine it with other things. In fact, the study found that by following children over their lifetime and also assessing personality traits like sense of humor, it found that sense of humor actually doesn't make our lives longer. In fact, it might make it slightly shorter. And the reason for that is people with good sense of humor also drink and eat too much and often smoke. So I would say humor is great, but don't fall into the pit of also enjoying other aspects of life too much and maybe having that take a negative toll.
Having a sort of a hedonistic lifestyle, you know, maybe people who are less inhibited, they laugh more, but they also are less inhibited when it comes to some of the bad health habits.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think of humor as basically exercise for the mind. It's a very healthy thing for us to be engaged, mentally engaged. And there have been plenty of studies to show that, you know, even doing things like crosswords every day, you know, helps stave off things like Alzheimer's and other dementias. So, yeah, I'd say humor is great, but it needs to be used responsibly. Just like not all exercise is good for the body. You know, I'm thinking like jogging in a smog-filled tunnel would not be good. Not all exercise is good for the mind if you don't use it properly. And so negative humor, like self-deprecating humor, not so good. Or, like you said, a hedonistic view where you're laughing but maybe not at positive things. That's not healthy either.
Or don't try telling racial or religious jokes at a Ku Klux Klan meeting. That might not be good for your health either.
Yeah, in many ways, probably.
Right. Well, the pioneering work on this, of course, was Norman Cousins. And it's been such a long time since I've read Anatomy of an Illness, but perhaps, you know, you've looked at it during the course of your research. And the claim was, you know, he developed a very serious, perplexing autoimmune illness. The doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. They just said, you're going downhill. There's not much we can do. And so what he did is he claims that, and he documents this in the book, that he got a bunch of Three Stooges movies. This was his, you know, thing that really worked for him humor-wise. Doesn't work for everyone. By the way, that seemed, Three Stooges seems to work better for guys than for girls, right?
Absolutely,
there's,
it does.
There's like a definite like a gender bias on types of humor. Like men just love the Three Stooges. Women go, I just don't get it. But anyway, he got that those tapes, and he said that he played the Three Stooges nonstop, laughed himself well. Anything to that? Is that what the story was?
It is. I mean, it was fascinating. He took a bad collagen disease, and basically his joints were falling apart, and they told him he would die soon, most likely. He just, and it would be painful. And so that was bad, obviously. But he said what was almost worse was when he was in the hospital, he was being woken up in the middle of the night for blood tests, and he was eating bad food, and he was surrounded by people that were generally acting like they were miserable, and he just hated it. And so he recounts this in a great book, as you said,
Anatomy of an Illness. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he said, well, if all this negative stuff around me is having bad repercussions, why not look for something positive? So he just left the hospital, checked himself into a hotel room, and watched that and Alan Funt videos, the old Candid Camera.
Oh, okay, right, the Candid Camera. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a shame so few people have heard of Alan Funt and the old Candid Camera, but I grew
it's a
up
generational
with that.
Thing. Yeah, a lot yeah, of baby so. Boomers grew up with that.
Yeah, and so he watched it, and this was challenging at the time because this was before DVDs or VCRs even. So, and he had to get a friend who'd get the old reel movie tapes, you know, to show him. And so he watched and laughed every day. He just said, I'm going to make myself laugh every day. And he found that 10 minutes of laughter, that was enough to make his pain go largely away. I mean, he still was in some pain, but pretty soon after laughing every day, he was able to reach for books on a bookshelf and walk around. And he even did things like play tennis and golf, which the doctors thought he would never do. And he lived 26 more years. And he attributed it largely to, I mean, some is good luck. I would never say that, you know, every person with this disease would be fine if only they could laugh. But certainly it surely helped, at least some. And I would say that anybody is part of their regular medical treatment. If they can keep a positive attitude and laugh, that certainly will help prognosis.
Well, absolutely. And this is actually the proposition behind what Patch Adams, MD, calls the Gesundheit Institute. Which is, you know, you say Gesundheit when people sneeze, but I guess, you know, maybe, you know, Gesundheit also means health. And he's a guy who literally put on a clown nose. He would go into clinics, especially working with kids, and make them laugh. And, you know, some of these kids very seriously ill, some with cancer, and noted that this is an important way to help. But I think it goes beyond just, you know, for doctors to tell jokes and put on clown noses and clown costumes. It also has to do with sort of a leveling in medicine where the doctor is more congenial, warm, and humanistic towards the patient, not an aloof authority figure who is remote, stern, and dour.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this really gets at the role of the doctor. It's much more than just to be a deliverer of medicine. Because the psychology, there's very little separation between mind and body in that way. If you're in a bad mood and you're anxious, these have terrible repercussions on the body. And so you're right, the doctor essentially needs to be there mentally and physically for the patient. And Norman Cousins showed that with him. When he just got in a better mood and he treated himself to good laughter every day, it led to some positive changes. And there have been other studies, too, that have shown that that does happen. Positive outlook and positive mood have big influence.
Well, and I also think that it involves a certain amount of generosity and openness on the part of a practitioner to open up and share humor with patients. And the most popular doctors are always the doctors who tell the best jokes. I ask one relative who's 95 years old, and she usually, her social life is about making the rounds of various specialists. And she always gravitates to the doctor who has the best jokes.
Yeah, and I know that this is outside of my field, but I remember reading a fascinating study. I think it was in the New Yorker talking about who gets sued for malpractice and who doesn't.
Yeah,
and it had largely to do with personal relationships. I mean, that really determined it. There's some people who, you know, might have otherwise been subject to more risk had they not been so personable and likable. So, I mean, that's another good thing.
So clearly this is an important part of life. It's an important part of medicine. You can find out a whole lot more in the book Ha. It's just out, and it's a great contribution to our understanding of laughter. So I want to thank you very much for joining us. It's really been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much for having me. It was fun.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.